Creator God, we give you thanks for all you are and all you bring to us for our visit within your creation. Give us strength to live together with respect and commitment as we grow in your spirit, for you are God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Good news, now is when you can go ahead and try out those new literature pockets if you'd like. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that we gather for worship on the traditional territory of the Lekwungen peoples of the Saanich Nation and the Songhees and Esquimalt peoples. The reason I do this is to remind us that this land was inhabited by God's people long before European settlers arrived. I'd also like to acknowledge and lift my hands to honor any Indigenous elders and residential school survivors or intergenerational survivors who may be with us today. My name is Melanie Delva, and some of you may have previously interacted with me as the archivist for the Anglican Diocese of New Westminster and Provincial Synod of BC and Yukon, a position I held for almost 12 years. But as of June 1st, I am now the Reconciliation Animator for the Anglican Church of Canada. And this is funny to me on several levels. The first is that I seem to be fated to have job titles that need a lot of explaining. For 12 years, I tried to explain to people what an archivist does, and now I spend a lot of time explaining what a reconciliation animator does, and the hint is I don't work for Disney. And the reason why I find this funny as well is that suffice it to say I did not have this as part of my life plan. But as of June, I was commissioned by Primate Fred Hiltz to help the Anglican Church of Canada stay true to its commitment to reconciliation with Indigenous peoples, to animate or bring life to the ongoing work of truth-telling, justice-seeking, and reconciliation. My name is Melanie Delva, and I am also a recovering racist. I grew up in a racist context and a racist family. I was raised in a very rural community in Manitoba that was near one of the larger Métis communities and next to the Tutnawazabig First Nation. And I was told from a young age by my community that so-called Indians, as they were called, were at best lazy, unintelligent, ungrateful, and at worst subhuman and not worthy of a continued presence in our society. My internal world started to shift as I began to review thousands of pages of archival records for transfer to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The Anglican Church is a signatory to the Residential Schools Settlement Agreement, an agreement that addressed the largest class action lawsuit in Canadian history. Other than financial obligations, the only other legal obligation the churches had was the production of records regarding the residential school system. This is where the archivists came in. My own journey of reconciliation began the first time I set eyes on a file of correspondence in our archival records regarding the death of a 7-year-old boy at St. George's Indian Residential School in Lytton, BC, not far from Vancouver. The correspondence was between the principal of the school, the Indian agent, and the family of the boy who had died. The family wanted to know what had happened, how the boy had died, and what had happened to his body. The principal and the Indian agent were going back and forth in the correspondence, trying to figure out for themselves what had happened and how or whether to present this information to this bereft and desperate family. The truth of the matter was that the boy had died of influenza and had been buried in an unmarked grave on the school playground. But to my knowledge, from the correspondence, the parents were never told this. I read the file. I vomited in my garbage can. I sat shakily at my desk, and then I put the file back into the box and took out the next file. And one by one, I began reading files and files and boxes of records pertaining to the greatest human rights violation in our nation's history. And that which the Truth and Reconciliation Commission has called a cultural genocide. I was called away from all I thought I knew, from the safety and comfort of the bubble of my beliefs and prejudices. This was the beginning of a journey of devastation, and I believe redemption for me. In fact, one of the reasons I have hope for reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples on any level, let alone a national or church level, is that I see my own journey of reconciliation and movement into the light of Christ as a small microcosm of that which is possible when we no longer fear the light and truth of the gospel of reconciliation. Because I do believe that the gospel of Christ in all its complexities is an ongoing call to reconciliation with God, with ourselves, and with others. Today's gospel reading from Mark is literally the calling of the disciples. What strikes me most about Jesus' calling of the disciples is that Jesus calls them from everything they know, from their comfort zones, out of the familiar, and out of everything they know and love most. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. Likely they came from generations of fishermen, had only ever done hard labor on the water, and knew no other life. Jesus calls them from the only thing they know to a complete unknown, a fishing for people. What does that even mean, I would have asked. Witnessing his message and spreading the news of the kingdom of God, James and John are also fishermen mending their nets, minding their own business. And not only does Jesus call them to leave this life and work they know, he also calls them to leave their father, Zebedee. He calls them to leave the commitment to and comfort of home and family. I wonder what familiar things, what life we know, what comforts Jesus calls us away from in our journey of reconciliation, both individually and as a church. Maybe we are comfortable in lives of privilege that have us blindly believing that racialized people have the same opportunities that we do, and a belief that any disadvantage they seem to have is due to their own action or inaction. It's certainly more comfortable not to ask how we have allowed the child welfare system and the prison system to become the new residential schools, as both Maclean's magazine and even the Federal Minister of Indigenous Services herself have asserted. It's a lot more comfortable not to crunch the numbers and realize that over 100 Indigenous communities in Canada do not have access to clean drinking water. Maybe we are comfortable in overconsumption of resources, causing climate change that disproportionately affects the lives of Indigenous people around the world. Maybe we are comfortable not asking questions about what it means to live, to work, to worship on unceded lands, inhabited by Indigenous peoples for thousands of years before European settlers arrived. For me, it was a calling out of unquestioned white privilege and assumptions about Indigenous peoples. My work in the archives with hundreds of survivors of the residential schools called me out of ignorance, out of prejudice, and out of fear through relationship, which is what Jesus called the disciples to, a profound and new kind of relationship. Christ used the survivors of the residential schools to call me from the grave of racism and ignorance, like Jesus calling Lazarus from the tomb. I continued to be called each day, and we all are. The question is whether we are open to hearing the call and whether we are willing to leave the spaces that make us feel comfortable in order to heed this call. What this looks like will vary depending on our context. Maybe it's beginning to educate ourselves. Maybe it's a book study. Maybe it's political activity and social action. We all want an easy answer, but it's really a contextual answer. And we must pray and believe that Christ will show us the way. There's very, very good news here. Spoiler alert. In leaving that which is comfortable, we gain so much more. As the disciples were changed and blessed by journeying with Jesus, so we are changed and blessed when we journey with the oppressed and dispossessed, as Christ did and as Christ was oppressed and dispossessed. This is not to say that it's easy. I can imagine that along the way, the disciples missed their nets and their families and questioned the path that they were on and why they were on it. They stumbled along the way. They bickered with one another. They fell asleep in the garden at the most important moment. We will all make mistakes along the way. But not only is Christ gracious and patient with us, he also gives us both the example to follow and the strength and courage to do it. No one is excluded from this call. The uncomfortable and the life-changing journey of reconciliation and justice is open to and waiting for all who are willing to be transformed by it. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.